Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim brought to you on this Rosh Chodesh Kislev from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is daf Samach Chet, and we're holding it the Halakha Mishnah, Kol HaPesulim. So don't worry about the gears over here, because one way or the other, the gears is correct. It's just a question whether it's supposed to belong at the beginning of the Mishnah or at the end of the Mishnah. We could just read it the way we have it, and that's fine. So we spoke yesterday about the question of whether Malika, when the carbon is pasul, does that Malika actually create a nevela? Because if it's not a Malika kshera, so then the chora, for all intents and purposes, you just killed this bird without a way to be machshir it. However, the Mishnah says, surprisingly, that kol apsulim shemoku malikatan psula, that if a pasul person, and we'll see how far that extends, in the Gemara, does it include even a czar? We'll see. The Malika is possible, and nonetheless, it's not metame bebeit habliyah. So let's just mention the fundamental point around which all the issues in this Mishnah revolve. And that was, you will recall that we had the machlokas before Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. This is all going, as Tosus explains, aliba to Rabbi Shimon, and that we have the posik of zot Torah to Ola, hi ha'ola, and so on, where we had not just simply three miyutin and everything else was kosher, but rather we had a actual limud that taught us that some things are meant to be on the Mizbeach and other things are not. And now we have to define what those things are. And we ended up, if you recall, back in that beginning when we dealt with the machlokas, that anything which was psuloi bakedash gets to remain on the Mizbeach if it was put there, even if it was put there b'isr. And what's more, anything, the rule was that if you can find a place where such a thing is kosher, then it remains on the Mizbeach, even if it's the most far out place. So it'll be kosher only under the most unique circumstances. That's still okay. So because of that, that's going to be how we determine which things would be included. We have to find some place where the Torah was matirit. So let's say you used your left hand to do the Malika. Now we know that all of the Aveda has to be done with your right hand. But remember, there is one thing that is done with the left hand, and we do have this one place, and that one place is on Yom Kippur. Well, remember, you're allowed the Kohen has to bring in with one hand, he has to bring in the Keteres, and the other hand, he has to bring in the Machta with the ashes that are going to be burned, the coals that are going to be burning that Keteres. And that's very difficult for him to carry. He's going to have to carry with one hand. We allow him to carry it in his left hand because that's what is necessary logistically and therefore must be included in the Chiyuv of the Lakach B'lo HaMachta. So if that's the case, there's one special situation that small is kosher. Therefore, if you do Malika b'small, then that allows, if, obviously it's all possible, but if you went ahead and put it on the Mizbeach anyway, it would stay on the Mizbeach. And if that's the case, if it stays on the Mizbeach, then that would mean it's obviously not a nevela, because it has some shaychus to the heter. Okay, this is true about all of the cases. The Gemara will go through them. So now, if you're a melech with your left hand, or you're a melech balayla, and the din is, of course, that biyom tzavoto, all korbanot have to be brought during the day. But we do things balayla, don't we? Don't we bring the evarim up onto the mizbeach balayla? So that means that layla can't be a total no-no, and therefore, if you went ahead and did anything balayla, then it was put on the mizbeach, it would, of course, you're not allowed to do it, but if you did that, it would not be yored. So that's the im alta lo tered. So all of these cases are nogea, that general question. Shachat chulin bifnim. Let's say you did a mice of shchita for chulin, which is appropriate for chulin. However, you did it inside of the azara. Or let's say you shechted kachim outside of the azara. These things would not be metame bebeit habliya, very surprisingly, but the Gemara will go through the limud of why that's true. And we know, of course, where it is that kachim were shayach to be brought b'chutz, and that would be in a bama. We're going to be talking about all of that in the Gemara. So they're not mitame bebeit habliya. Now, there's one conspicuous case that's left out, and we're going to be discussing that, as the Zaklal, as we'll see in the end. How about if you did the Malika the wrong way, and you used the knife, and you didn't use the Tzipora? What would be the din over there? So if you were Malak Bisakin, or you were Malak Chulin Bifnim, or you were Malak Kochim Bachutz, and there is no din of Malika Bachutz at all, and there is no din ever of Malika on Chulin at all. So if that's the case here, what are you doing? You're shooting it through the head, essentially, right? That's all that you're doing. Will you guys stop drinking while you're driving? So if you just kill a bird, that makes it an Avela, right? And if that's the case, it should be actually, in this case, something that was not Roy at all. Those things should be Metame Bebeit Habliya. But we're going to go through each case, as I mentioned. We'd go through each case earlier. Let's say you brought the wrong kind of birds, and then you did Malika. So the Torin, Reloi Giazmana. Remember, Torim mean post-pubescent birds, and Bnei Yonah mean pre-pubescent birds, and there are clear simonim on their body and the coloration of their feathers and so on that allows us to determine they're the right age. So if you brought Torim that were too young, or you brought Bnei Yonah that were too old, then they're not roy for the Mizbeach at all. Or suppose you brought a bird that is basically, it's lost one wing. That wing, I mean, the wing may physically be there, but it doesn't work and it's completely crumbled up. There was Yavsha Gapa, or an eye was torn out, or a foot was cut off. As we know, those are the mumin that actually do pasul birds, a mechusar aver, and therefore it's not roy at all, because it was not psulei bekedesh, and if it's ola, it would be yored. And in that case, if it's ola and yored, there's nothing that the malika did for it, in which case it is just a pure bird that was shot through the head for all intents and purposes, and then it's an avela, and the tumah of an avela is bishas achila. It's not metame nivlas ha'of hator. And therefore, it's not metame no b'maga v'lo b'masa, it's only metame b'beit habliyah. Zaklal. The basic rule to know is that kosher psulo bekodesh, as long as it was at one time kosher, and it became pasul only after it was already in the Beis HaMikdash, then it's not metame b'beit habliyah. But if it's the wrong thing, and obviously lo haya psulo bekodesh, then it is metame b'beit habliyah. Here we have the question of what particular psulim are going to be metame, according to the way Rav makes a shortcut and allows us to think about the underlying klalim. So Rav says, look, if you're talking about doing Malika Bismol, or you're doing Malika Belaila, so as we said, those things are definitely not metame b'beit habliyah, and that was what the Mishnah begins with, and it's telling us that that thing is considered to be the psulei b'kedesh em ola lo teret. Masha'enke, if a zar did the malika, that is fascinating because the Mishnah said that the malika done by psulim, I thought psulim would include all the cases of psulim. You know, that would include a zar also. But Rav says no. If the malika was done by a zar or by someone who is pasul, it could even be a kohen. So it would include the whole list. So that would mean that shachat, like we had before, zar, onen, and so on and so forth. The same thing would be true over here. If it was nimlak ayadei zar, or it was nimlak ayadei onen, or kohen orel, and so on and so forth, the whole list. Rav is saying that that is mitame in the Beis HaBliya, which seems to be against the Mishnah. Asks the Gemara, what's the logic of the difference between smol? I understand that the reason that you say that small is not metame is because im alta lo tered. And why im alta lo tered? Because we determine if there's any place at all that this thing is kosher, then if it's put on the Mizbeach, even though it shouldn't have been put on, we don't take it off of the Mizbeach, which means that there was some element of heter that the Malika brought to it, and therefore it's not metame bebeis hablia. All of that is very logical. Now, let's analyze each case and see where we find somewhere that such an act would have achieved something beheter, and therefore in this case remains on the Mizbeach. So I understand. I understand that Shmuel is kosher because it's kosher on Yom Kippur, as we explained in the Mishnah. Lila, we understand why Lila is kosher, because we always do the Evorim and Pedorim, and we bring them up onto the Mizbeach Balila. But the same thing is true of a Zar, because a Zar is allowed to do the Shechita. So if a Zar is allowed to do Shechita, then wouldn't that be a case in which the heter of the animal, in this case a bird, would be done by a Zar? So if a Zar does the Malika, then that should be the equivalent of one case where there is such a thing. No, says the Gemara. Malika may be an Aveda, but Shechita is not an Aveda. So you can't bring a Raya from the fact that a Zar does Shechita. Remember, you don't have to be Kodesh in order to require Shechita. Even Chumen requires Shechita, right? So the fact that a Zar does Shechita, Zar always does Shechita. But that doesn't mean that a Zar is ever found to be able to do Malika. So therefore, how would you be able to bring a Raya from Shechita to Malika? Wait, you're telling me that Shechita is not an Aveda? But didn't we have a case where we saw that Shechita can only be done by a Kohen? Even though by Kachim, normally the Korbonas Ezar is Shochet, but remember we had before the Sugya that Rabbi Zera said that if a Zar shechs the Pora Aduma, oh, then it's Pasuk. And the Pasuk that Rav brought to show that that's true is that the Parsha begins with Zot Chukat HaTorah, and it says Beferish to bring that Pora Lifnei Elazar HaKohen, Netatemotal Elazar HaKohen V'Shachat, right? So that means you need a Kohen. And if only a Kohen can shecht, apparently the Shechita is an Avoda. Now we had this entire sugya earlier in the Masechet, so we can learn it very quickly. Shine Pora, Tekoche Berek Abayiti. How can we arrive from Pora that it's an Avoda? It's not even Kodesh Kedushas HaGuf, it's Kodesh Kedushas Berek Abayit. So, that makes it a Kal V'Chomer. If even Kodesh Berek Abayit requires a Kohen, so Kodesh Mizbeach for sure requires a Kohen. So that means that Shechita is an Aveda. That's what I'm saying. Excuse me. There's no connection between needing a Kohen to do something and your assumption that that means that it's an Aveda. Do we need a Kohen to look at a Nega and to say whether the Nega is Tahar or Tame? Absolutely. Is anybody in his right mind going to suggest that Re'iyas Negoyim is an Aveda? Of course not. It's a special din for which I need a Kohen, but the same thing is true of the Pora Aduma. Just because you need a Kohen does not mean that it's an Aveda. Therefore, it says Rav Shisha Bereit Ravidi, needed to have a Marot Negaim. Marot Negaim are not an Aveda, and nonetheless, they're by Kuhuna. So, same thing might be true over here. Okay, but still, let's say that you were bringing this bird as a gift to the Bama, which was there at the time of Novigivon, or was there at the time of Gilgal. Would you be allowed to bring it as a Zar? Absolutely. There was no din of kahuna on Obama, right? So then that means that we have a nice example of a Zar that can do Malika, not just Shechita. A Zar does Malika on Obama. Why is that not enough of a Raya that if a Zar did Malika, you should leave the bird on the Mizbeach if it was brought, and therefore Why wouldn't it not be Tahar from Tumas Beis HaBliya? Well, actually, our Tana doesn't hold that you can use a raya from the bama. I mean, after all, it's a bama is like the opposite of requiring a Kedushas Mizbeah. That's not true. Velo, Tanya, what about the Braita? We brought a raya that Yotze, we brought, had this before. If something was Yotze and you put it on the Mizbeach, then it stays on the Mizbeach. And what was the raya? Sha'arei Yotze, kosher b'bama. And so if that's the case, if you're going to use the bama as a raya that Yotze is considered to be malalot teret, why can't we use the bama to also tell me that the Malika Zazar imalalot teret? No, but he wasn't really learning it from the bama. He was basically learning it, remember, from Zos Torah Ha'olah, and he was just showing you additionally that Lemaisi doesn't hold you could have based the whole halacha just on the fact that we had it in the bama. But because we had the differences in the Zot Torah, which is the everything has the same Torah, im also lo teret, so then that's really the essential nekuda. And therefore, to talk about the things that
Shabbos, Chodesh
what's going
Tov,
who's talking? Brucey.
We're just overjoyed to be all together. Chodesh Tov.
Brucey, mute. Oh, boy. I'm trying to mute him myself. For some reason, it's not working. I don't know. Okay. So because of that, it isn't really the case that the Tana would have learned it out directly. He has to be semech on the pasuk that is definitely telling us that things have to be brought down from the Mizbeach and other things not, and therefore he ended up with understanding that we didn't have a miyut for that case. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, absolutely, I don't understand why not. A zar would not be mitame bebet abliyah because I hold that the bama is a perfectly good raya. And therefore, if the malika of a zar is kosher bebama, then a malika of a zar is not going to be mitame in the Beis HaMikdash because im alta lo tered. Now, if you use the sakin, now then you're going to be mitame bebet abliyah. Because look, the Torah gave us two modalities. To be matir nevela. One was called shechita, one was called malika. Each one of them has a definition of how it's done. If you do shechita wrong and it doesn't fit the halakas of shechita, you kill the bird or the animal, and it's a nevela. If you do malika wrong, you kill the bird, and it's a nevela. It's as simple as that. Using a sakin is not kosher as malika, that's for sure. It's also not kosher because of shechita. Now that's a question. Why exactly is malika done with a knife not essentially a shechita? Why wouldn't that be a shechita if you cut through both the kona and the veshet? There's a couple of issues over here among the Rishonim. The pashtus is that if you're going to use a knife, then you're always going to end up making the bird an avela because you get to the simanim only after you turned it into an avela, because you had to cut through rov basar along with breaking through the neck bone. So you separated the vertebrae and you also cut through the spinal cords. If you're going to get, by the time you get to the kona and the veshet, you're going to actually be shechting an avela. So it wouldn't make any difference. But what about if you stick your knife between the rov basar? Or you stick your knife between the spinal cord and those simanim. But that's also a psul, because a sakin cannot be stuck between. That's called chalada. In any event, there's a number of different machlokas in precisely what the problem is. And the bottom line is a shechita from the back of the neck or from the side of the neck is not going to be an act of shechita, because it violates one or more of the dinim of shechita. So there's no way that this thing could be matir. So that case, for sure, Sakin is going to be Metame Abes Avliya because there's simply no heter to Nevela that the Torah ever gave for it. Now, looking at our Mishnah, how do we fit that exactly with Rav? The Mishnah said, Kol HaPsulim. I mean, last I heard, Kol HaPsulim means any of the Psulim, which would include the Zar. So, Kol HaPsulim, Shemoku Melikatan Psula. Because that word Kol is definitely, sounds like it's coming to include something that you'd never think was included, right? Okay, so what would that be? So, Bishlam of the Rebbe Yochanan. Kol is Dafka coming to say that even something that we didn't talk about over here, and that you would think, because the only mocker for it would be a bummer, that therefore it would not be included in the cases that are Matayr Midei Nevela, comes along Kol to say even the case that you might have thought isn't included, the case of the Zar, is included. But according to Rav, Rav says that actually we don't learn from Obama, and therefore the Tzar is not included if he did Malika in the case of Imalta Lotere, and therefore it would be Metame Nevela, and therefore Bibliah. It is Metame Bibeta Bliah. What is that word called for? Because it doesn't seem to add anything to the cases that we had in the Mishnah. Well, maybe it's referring to those cases. Small. Lila. I mean, that's the case that Rav himself said. Small Velila, what are you talking about? Kol is supposed to be saying something that wasn't mentioned. Small Velila, it says in the Mishnah Beferish. So if you're telling me Kol, it's got to be saying something other than what I would have known from the list, for heaven's sakes. But not necessarily. I mean, sometimes Torah tells you a rule, and then it explains. Maybe that's not exactly all of these. And what are they? Small vial.
Rebbe's audio switched again.
To do that's Mishigas, and it's, I almost don't know what to do.
It's Zoom, Rebbe.
Rebbe, we hear you. It just completely changes the stuff.
It's totally weird.
It seems fine now, Rebbe.
Okay. You know, when this started, like last week, and it just keeps doing it. All right. No. Okay, so let's see if we can bring Araya from our Mishnah from another word. Okay, because we not only have the word kol up front, kol absolim, we have another kol, namely zehaklal. I mean, a klal is obviously coming to add something, right? So at the end of the Mishnah, we say zehaklal, kol shahaya absolim, b'kaydash ain't metame begadam abeta bliya. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, okay, so then that klal of kol shayab sula b'kedesh. Now, you're not telling me that that's something that is referred to in the Mishnah. What is that? Okay? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, I'll tell you what it is. It's the case of a zar that did the malika. But according to Rav, I didn't understand. Rav says the only cases are the cases that we said before. So what's going on? How does he explain that kol? Wait a minute. Excuse me. Let's say you're saying, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it works out very well. Does it? I mean, what about the rest of it? What about the Mishnah says afterwards? It says not like that. It also says that if it's not in the case of the Psula B'Kedesh, tell me what case that includes, right? I mean, apparently it's coming to add something that we wouldn't know. All right. Rabbi Yochanan also can't explain what this is meant for. Why did the Mishnah bother saying, Im ein psula b'kedesh, so then the halach is that it is. So, go ahead. You tell me how it is that Rabbi Yochanan explains that, and I'll tell you how it is that Rav explains this. Because apparently the zaklal is not working out, and the kols are not working out according to anybody completely, are they? So the way that it would work is not talking about all of these other issues, but rather, if you take a look at the Mishnah, then you will notice that the Mishnah seems to specifically leave out a case in each time that it explains a rule, leaves out a case. And that's probably the case that it's coming. That would make sense according to everybody. So if the Reisha is coming to include the one case not mentioned, And that, the ratio, by the ratio, we mean the klal that says kosher psuloi b'kodesh, that it's not metam. So that's coming to include the missing case of shchitas kachim bifnim. We left out that case, right? We talked about shchitas kachim b'chutz, we talked about shchitas chulin bifnim, but we did not talk about a case of shchitas kachim bifnim. Now, there's no such thing as shchita that's supposed to be done for a bird that's bifnim, right? But nonetheless, we say that the, if it was shechted, and the din over there, if it was a oaf, the Torah was never allowed you to actually keep that even on the Mizbeach. So why isn't it metame? For another reason. It's not metame because shchita is metayer even where this was not a shchita ru'uya, but it's still metayer from a nevela in the same way that if you shecht a trefa, can you eat it? No. But is it metame? No, because the shchita is metayer midei nevela. So we didn't list this case because it doesn't follow the standard of all of the other cases. But the bottom line is that if you do a shchita inside of the Beis HaMikdash, of a Kodesh, and the din is im alta tered, it still is not going to be metame b'beit ha'bliya. So we need to include that case as a special case. Therefore, we added this as well. So once it's coming to add the case that we did not mention in the Mishnah, there's another case that was not mentioned in the Mishnah. Malika to chulin b'chutz, which is the opposite case. That's the mirrored case. And that's saying, if in psuloi b'kodesh, there it would actually be possible and would be metame as well. So in order to address those two dinim, that shchita would be metaher even where it's inappropriate ibifnim, and that malika will not be metaher even where it was b'chut. So if it's malika schulin, there we definitely can't learn it out from the boma. And there we're saying those things will be metame because balika of such a thing has absolutely no reality at all where the Torah ever said that it was kosher. Now, that's not to say that we couldn't have come up with a lot of cases that the Mishnah doesn't discuss. There's tons of cases. But the point over here is that we're trying to see the Mishnah as an integrated whole, in which the cases of the Mishnah and the standards of the Mishnah are being applied in new ways. There's tons of things that the Mishnah hasn't discussed. It hasn't discussed Roveya V'nirva. It hasn't discussed the case of Muktzah. It hasn't discussed the case of Nevad. I mean, we could talk about all of those cases. But what we're interested in is trying to see the way that the Mishnah is constructed in a way that allows the Mishnah to be a natural construct of which things are included and which things are not. Tanya Kavasid Reb Yochanan, actually a brayta says beferish, if a zar did the malika, then if that was done, or apostle for that matter, and so we had our whole list of the various psulim of the kohanim that are psulim, or if it's pigol, or nosar, or tame, none of those things are metame bebeis habliya, which is clearly what Rabbi Yochanan said. All of these things are considered to be psuloi b'kodesh, and therefore imol soloi tered, and that shows that Rabbi Yochanan was correct. A zar is not metame if he does a malika. His malika is still metayer midei nevelah.